Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Health insurance made easy through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air until 10. It is now the 17th of June of a Tuesday. A little bit misty in Dublin, but it's burning off now. Excellent weather forecast everywhere for the next couple of days. So slap on the sun cream. And how are tricks out there with you? The WhatsApp is open to all. That's 087 032 32 32. And on the email, you can write out to us, oliver@rte.ie. Simple as that. And we have a lovely show for you today because we're meeting a woman who's trained as a community first responder, and she has vowed to spread the word of the defibrillator. And she's doing this because she lost her husband just 5 years ago, very, very young. He was in the Dublin Fire Brigade, and that was incredibly sad. However, she has restarted her life again, and she's doing this, and I think you're going to fall deeply for this lady, Paula McLaughlin, when you hear her story later. All the hope you need bundled into the one conversation, I can promise you. And as it happens, I saw a car only last night with a community first responder sticker on the window. It's funny that happens when these things are in your head, probably because they're in your head. And the text is ever 51551. Now, what curiosities are occurring out there in the world? I love this story from a few weeks ago. More and more people, you see, are raffling their houses in the insane and malfunctioning housing market of ours in this country. And so last month, a woman put her house in Leitrim up for the draw raffle with a British company called Raffle, not spelled in the usual way. 1.75 acres, a lovely done-up bungalow in lovely Leitrim. And it was won by a Kathleen Spangler, who we assumed was an American because it was a global raffle and there was a lot of coverage in the international press about it. And the raffle tickets are only £5 sterling, British companies have said. So Kathleen Spangler has now been tracked down by the New York Times, and she's a 29-year-old US Marine Corps officer, and only last October she applied for her Irish citizenship through lineage on her father's side. We'll come to that in a minute. And it was approved just a month later. Apparently it was fast-tracked, according to the New York Times this morning, because she was pregnant. Then in February, she and her husband, who's Michael Spangler, that's where the name comes from, also a Marine officer, around 30, and they had their two toddlers. They transferred from North Carolina to Ohio, and then she gave birth to her third child. And they were preparing graduate studies in engineering. They're both going into college again. So amid all the life-changing events, she completely forgot that she bought a few tickets in the online raffle in December. She spent $12.67 for three tickets, and then totally forgot about it. Move on 6 months, 22nd of May, she gets a text from a friend saying, "Did you just win a cottage in Ireland?" She said, "No, I don't think so. Let me check." And her friend had read the article about Irish woman Imelda Collins, who hosted the raffle to offload her two-bedroom cottage, and she's moving to Italy. And so Miss Spangler couldn't believe it. She sent a text to her husband, who was in a class at the time, and says, "I've just won a house in Ireland." He says, "No, no. Your man says she doesn't even gamble. I didn't expect this text in the middle of my mathematics course." And when she told him about the contest, he said, "No, this is a scam." But he was wrong. It was entirely legit. And so Kathleen Spangler and her family are doing something of a homecoming to Ireland because her grandmother emigrated from Mayo and her great-grandfather's family come from Sligo, which is only 12 miles from the house in Leitrim. And Imelda Collins, thrilled to hear that this winner had roots in the area, and the Spanglers of Sligo, you might say to yourself. So she's on her way. For Imelda Collins herself, the Irish woman, she decided to raffle her house after reading about another one, a woman who had raffled her Dublin apartment. And the closing of the contest, she says, a huge relief to her. She launched the raffle in October. She set a goal of selling 150,000 tickets on this raffle site. £5 British. It would come to about a million euro, essentially, which is, she bought the house for about 150,000 in 2022. Now, she spent 25,000 euro, that is, on advertising and marketing herself, and a chunk has to go to raffle. But it is very curious. If you set the goal of 150,000 raffle tickets, and if you don't meet the 150,000 target, you can give the winner of the raffle, 50% of the revenue, and keep 40% of it yourself and the house. 10% goes to raffle. But she did. In the end, Miss Collins went way over the target. She told the New York Times over 206,000 tickets were sold, grossing 1.4 million, which is about 1.2 million euro, minus the expenses and the chunk that goes to the company itself. So Imelda Collins and Kathleen Spangler anticipate meeting up at some point for the handing over the keys. And they say in this article it takes 3 months to transfer property in Ireland, indicating that that is very slow. But I would think 3 months is very fast in that case. So Imelda Collins off to Italy and the Spanglers coming home to the northwest of Ireland. That's a very, very nice story. The raffling of houses goes on and on. There's a big article in The Guardian this morning about more and more people doing that. But it sounds very nerve-wracking, doesn't it, if you don't meet the target? But maybe you might wish you would meet the target. You get to keep the house and you make a chunk of money. But then, of course, there's taxes and all sorts of things to be. Oh, my God. Reality dawns fairly quickly. Now, the Irish News this morning has a two-page splash on a big story which will be unfolding this time tomorrow. Kneecap will relish walking through the front door of British court. Two lads from West Belfast, John Breslin writes this morning, and a former music teacher from Derry, who've been all the talk for the last year and a half in particular, will walk together through the front doors of a British court to begin a fight they are looking forward to with relish. Kneecap's Liam O'Gohany, you'll know by now, he's 27 years of age. That's Mokara in his stage name, will appear tomorrow before Westminster Magistrates Court. He's accused under the Terrorism Act after allegedly displaying a Hezbollah flag at a concert in North London, which was in November 2023. The three of them in Kneecap will walk in the front door together as one, likely past solid support a coalition has been mustering over the past number of weeks. And his stage name, he faces a maximum of 6 months in prison and or a fine of £5,000 sterling, with the case being handled by Westminster Magistrates Court. It's expected to happen very quickly. In their defence legal team, it's an extraordinary kind of superpower of legal names in Britain and Ireland. Gareth Pearce, who you'll know, represented Jerry Conlon and the Guildford Four. She was played by Emma Thompson in the film In the Name of the Father. She also represented Julian Assange. And Darren Macklin is another solicitor. You remember him. He was a solicitor for the Stardust families. And there are British senior counsel as well attached who represented high-profile cases successfully for various activists. So this is a huge case that's going to unfurl tomorrow. A terrorism charge and conviction. The conviction would obviously massively affect the ability of one of the trio of Kneecap to travel, and there is a US and Canada tour happening at the end of this year. In a statement, of course, you'll remember they clarified they do not support Hamas or Hezbollah, so that's likely to be their defence, along with the early indications that the flag wasn't brought by Kneecap to the concert. It was thrown up on stage, and Limog is alleged to have waived that and therefore professed support for a proscribed organisation under British law. And Kneecap, as it happens, are also live in Fairview Park in Dublin on Thursday night. It's a gig that's long sold out, and they will be coming from that case directly. It's expected to happen very quickly, that case over there. There's no jury involved, from what I can understand. And the pictures in the Irish Times, they won a BAFTA for the film, and I'd never noticed before that they put the little tricolour balaclava on the BAFTA award itself, which is a face, as you know. And then it's Nisha. Is holding Guinness in a Carlsberg 0-0 cup. That's an offence. That was one. But yeah, what a story that's coming. What a story they've had in 2025, which is probably reaching its culmination, as I say, beginning around this time tomorrow, to something entirely different. Well, we say with Britain, actually, where we're at it. This is a Daily Telegraph story, but one that raises the ire of people and pop culture all the time. The smoky bacon crisp. What's going on in Britain? Keir Starmer, the British Prime Minister, was accused of a smoky bacon surrender after it emerged that British crisp manufacturers will have to change their recipes because of his Brexit reset deal. You remember he's done a new agreement with the European Union, which improves the relations but doesn't bring it back to the EU. But commentators in The Telegraph and Nigel Farage and the usual suspects are saying, oh no, we voted to leave even though everything's gone worse, and now he's bringing us back together, which will improve our exports, but we don't like this. Brussels has banned 8 flavouring methods which are still allowed in Britain because of Brexit, including those used for smoky bacon crisps. It raises the possibility that smoky bacon crisps, basically the EU have said they have to change the flavour, and this is apparently a story. Leave our smoky bacon alone, says Nigel Farage. You have to ask what's next? Changes the way we smoke our kippers? Who knows? Truth is, all this now totally out of our hands. Our industries have to change to adapt to how the EU set the rules, maybe not what our own people, our own innovators, entrepreneurs and industries would choose to do. He doesn't say this, but he's eventually saying, we will burn the British economy to the ground if it means it's not European. Nigel Farage, ironically, kind of looked like a smoked kipper himself. He looks like he's gone through the smoked process and smokes everything. Anyway, the reality of the story is that the EU ban on flavourings is due to effect it's going to take effect next year. They decided last year that we're going to slightly ban smoky bacon flavours, just change the way they were doing it. They're saying that there are toxins in how you currently smoke things like crisps. You've got 2 years to change their methods, and they've got to do that by, I think, May of next year. So they got 2 years. So the crisp makers and the people who smoke ham, fish and cheese got 5 years. So that's now 4 years away. And because of the expense of changing the production processes, there might be a slightly altered flavour. But, I mean, they're so good at all this stuff, and AI will figure out half of it. And also, Britain's crisp manufacturers say they've already begun the process of changing the recipes anyway. So this is all rubbish long before this new deal. Most of our members are already supplying both the European Union and British markets, so they adapted to the EU requirements anyway to get access to the big trade bloc. This is the kind of sense in the stupidity. What's amazing about the story in the Daily Telegraph is that it's written by a journalist called James Crisp. I am not making that bit up. What's going on over yonder in America? Well, Trump has left the G7 summit after just a day, gave no reason, but hinting it's to do with the Israel-Iran conflict. But at the G7 in Canada, he appeared alongside the British Prime Minister Keir Starmer to announce that he had signed the UK-US trade deal. And then Trump basically dropped it on the floor. There's a clip here. He had his usual black folder with him. OK, picture the scene. And he said, we've got the deal. And he's got the loose pages inside. He didn't realise what happens when you open it in the vertical position as he's doing the thing.
We just signed a document. This is... Sorry about that.
It falls to the ground. Trump doesn't move. Keir Starmer picks it up.
Very important document. A little windy out here. Give me that. We just signed it and it's done. And so we have our trade agreement with the European Union. And it's a fair deal for both.
And there you go. And of course he gets the name of the country wrong. He meant to say Britain or the United Kingdom, but of course he said the European Union instead. Mr. Trump told reporters in Canada, we signed it, it's done. However, the agreement is not actually a fully blown free trade deal because it focuses on reducing the tariffs, which were only put in place earlier this year, instead of the long-standing issues, which take years and years and years. The talks didn't even begin under Biden. A deeper agreement continues to be pursued. This is even from the Telegraph admitting it, that it's not a trade deal. A deeper agreement could see Britain agree to lower the rate of digital services taxes paid by US tech companies to London, which is a big bugbear of the Trump team and administration because they're being so heavily lobbied and backed by Silicon Valley and all those billionaires who switched to his side after the election. Zuckerberg and Bezos and all those bros don't want to pay the tax. Meanwhile, there's actually a Trump phone company on the way. This is apparently the Trump brothers of setting up their own phone company. And it's got lots of things. They said they're going to make a phone entirely in the United States and sell it for about $400. No, they won't. The only company that's managed to make a phone in the US is retailing it at $2,000. But they're going to use cellular networks. So it's going to be a kind of a Trump phone thing aimed at all the supporters and so on. That's just an extraordinary thing that's going on. They also say they're going to include the ability of phoning up a doctor to get a prescription, which all the reports say is also not possible. But that's what's going on. It just follows the Trump merch empire, which includes runners, Bibles, whatever, a hamburger, a gun that's also a hamburger, I presume. I don't know, whatever the crap they're selling. My favourite bit of presidential graft, by the way, is in Vietnam. Have you read the story? But there's a $1.5 billion golf complex outside the Vietnam capital of Hanoi, and also a Trump skyscraper in Ho Chi Minh City. And they fast-tracked the Trump development, ignoring their own laws in Vietnam to give concessions because of the whole tariffs thing. And of course, the White House said, no. All of the president's trade discussions are totally separate and unrelated to the Trump organization. There's no ethical issues. Trump's sons run the business, even though his own financial disclosure reports show that he personally benefits financially from these ventures. There are other deals in Serbia, Indonesia, and Middle East, countries he's threatened tariffs on. And then suddenly they open up the place for his developments. But it's all coincidental, of course, according to the thing. In fact, in Vietnam, one of the things they're going to do to allow the Trump development, which is already broken ground, by the way, ignoring before completing half a dozen legally required steps, according to reports, they're going to move a whole graveyard where five generations of ancestors are buried, and families are going to lose farmland that has sustained their families for centuries. One farmer quoted in the New York Times said he had to sign the approval documents. He said, there's nothing I can do. It's just to get up and get on with it, basically. So that's what's going on. And we'll see what happens around the world, shall we? I think